Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Medieval art portrays the afterlife with saints in glory above and sinners in torment below. Hell is seen as a place of fire, which the lost will inhabit for eternity. But in our enlightened age, hell is no longer taken seriously. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on the mysteries of God. What happens after death is indeed a mystery, especially for those not redeemed. Now, join us for The Justice of God.
My topic today is the justice of God. This happens to be number 7 in a series of messages titled The Mysteries of God. And today we go into some very deep mysteries. But let me tell you why this message is so important and why, if I were a teenager or a young person at any age or an older person, why I would listen so very carefully is because there are times when all of us go through times of doubt. There are questions that people ask us for which we ought to know the answer, or at least point them in the right direction. And furthermore, is there anything more noble, more wonderful than trying to probe the purposes of God? If you ask people, many of them would tell us that God isn't just at all, not at all. There are those who say that he doesn't play fair, he is an unjust God, and some people would say that he's a monster. Why would people say this? First of all, because of the suffering of the world. I don't have time today to go into that in any detail, but you know the story. Buckets of tears wept by children every single day. Starvation, abuse, abandonment. Well, you say it's because of human will. It's the human will. Well, that can never be a full explanation. Even if you say, well, Adam had free will and we all have free will. What about natural disasters? They have nothing to do with the human will. There's no way that they're connected. God could speak and the storms could stop and the earthquakes go away and the tsunamis refuse to come. That's all in God's hands. Suffering of this world. And then it gets worse than that. The doctrine of hell, are you serious? And especially, you know, having people in hell just because they don't believe in your Jesus? I've heard that from the mouths of people who are skeptics. And then, to add insult to injury, you have election, the fact that the Bible talks about God choosing some people and not others. I mean, a fair God, a God of justice? Give me a break. What many people do at that point is they collapse into the arms of atheism. They think that that is going to help them. In this series of messages, I know that I frequently scared up more rabbits than I'm able to shoot. And I now come to one of those instances. If I had time and if I had a whole message on it, I could show you why atheism is such a bad idea, because there's no way that you can possibly argue against God as an atheist without stealing from God all kinds of presuppositions. Atheists, when they say God is unfair, are using the presuppositions of theism, of the existence of God, to make their case. In fact, a whole book has been written about this entitled Stealing from God. I wish I could go into it. But I mean, atheists build their atheistic house on a foundation of theism. They have to. Out of atheism, no morality whatever can ever possibly arise. And that can be shown on the basis of pure reason and logic. Well, you say, well, can't atheists be moral? Don't they have a moral sense? Of course they do. Because they are created in the image of God, and therefore they have a conscience, and that conscience informs them, and they can be good people, and when we leave and go on vacation, we can give them the keys to our house because of God's creation, but not because of atheism. But nonetheless, some find refuge there. Listen, the problem of evil in no way speaks about the existence of God. What it does, it calls into question the character of God. And that's what we're going to talk about today. A couple of points by way of intro before we get to the text of Scripture. First of all, could I just simply say that when it comes to the Bible and the Christian theistic view, you don't get to choose the God you want. You see, some people who don't go into atheism, they say, well, you know, my God of my sexuality, my God of my gender, my God would never do A, B, C, D. My God basically agrees with me about everything. You don't get to choose your God. One day I was talking to somebody like that, and he said, you know, my God approves of this and that. And I say, tell me more. Always ask somebody to tell you more. How do you know this? And I said to him, have you ever been rebuked by your God, or does your God agree with absolutely everything that you believe? Turns out, God agrees with everything he believes. Every one of his opinions, God is in favor of. Smile for a moment, but when that man looks into the mirror, he's looking at his God. We don't get to choose it. When God said to Moses, I am that I am, what he was saying was, I am who I am and not who you want me to be. We all wish at times that we could perhaps change God. Who of us, in all honesty, has not thought that? But that's not up to us. We have to deal with a God who exists, not the God we would prefer. Second, and maybe I've already emphasized this in the series, God didn't choose the attributes that he has. God didn't say to himself, you know, I'm going to be omniscient, I'm going to be omnipresent, and I'm also going to have wisdom, and I'm going to be loving, I'm going to be just. He didn't choose those attributes. That's who God is from all of eternity. And if you can think back that far, the first message in this series was God eternal, the eternality of God, when we talked about what that means and how we can try, at least, though we cannot totally get a handle around that. So it is what it is, and we need to deal with it. And I'm so glad that the Bible does not present God as a monster. But the text today is actually the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation 15. Everybody look at your Bibles today. If your Bible is your cell phone, your iPad, your computer, well, this is the time to drag it out and to look at the 15th chapter of the book of Revelation. I'm still reading from a book. I love a book, but God bless all of you. And there are Bibles in the seat in front of you, real Bibles. All right. We're all on this page because you have to see this. Revelation 15, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. Before we go further, notice the wrath of God. The wrath of God is referred to in the Bible, I would think, hundreds of times. Get used to the fact that God is a God of wrath. Now, this message is going to end in optimism and hope, but I'm not going to enter this into a contest as the greatest touchy-feely message you've ever heard. Nothing wrong with those kinds of messages, but this is not one of them. You'll notice it says in the book of Nahum, just listen, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. But the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and he will by no means, however, clear the guilty. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. But the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Well, we'll say more about that ambiguity in God from our standpoint. Good, righteous, loving, just, and vengeful. Well, here you have what is known as the seven plagues, the seven bowls of Revelation. And there are in the book of Revelation, first of all, the seals, the trumpets, and now we get to the last judgment of God on this earth. And it is terrible. You can read it on your own. I won't take the time to read it, but this is why I'm speaking about this passage on the justice of God. Verse 2, and I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had conquered the beast and his image and the number of his name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, notice now, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. Notice, for your righteous acts have been revealed. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, I know this, that there is so much that happens in this world that we do not understand. The injustice among men is unbelievable, and some of you have been the victims, and some of you who are listening have been the perpetrators. That's the way life is. But at the same time, I want you to know that at the end of the day, as mentioned in the book of Revelation, I believe that all of us will give praise to God, and we will say, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Aren't you glad that at the end of the day, God will balance the scales? For those who trust Jesus Christ as Savior, he, of course, bore the wrath of God, and God is just in letting us off the hook, so to speak. At the same time, he will also be just with the wicked. We need to trust his justice and believe him to be perfect.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Justice of God, the seventh in an 8-part series of messages on the mysteries of God. Next time, more teaching on the tough subject of hell. The Mysteries of God can be yours on CD. All 8 messages will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.